This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Things You Can't Touch podcast, the podcast where philosophy meets the real world. Join us as we touch on the things you can't quite put your finger on but won't stop thinking about. And today, I'm very excited to announce our new guest, Kimberly. She's on TikTok. She's going to talk to you a little bit about what she does and where you can find her, basically.
Thank you so much. Hello, hello, guys. Thank you so much again for allowing me to come on this amazing show. My name is Kimberly, also known as Kimberly Online on TikTok and YouTube, political pundit and master's graduate from the University of Birmingham.
Wow. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you so much.
A lot of people are out here talking without degrees. So, yeah, guys, clock that.
We need to stop that immediately.
Yeah. Wow. So there's so much to unpack here. We've been talking for a while about doing this episode, and I think I've catered the best question for you. I'm just going to launch into it so that you can just feel free to talk. Don't think that I have anything in mind for you to say. It's all up to you.
So
without further ado, the question is, does social media activism create real change?
Ooh. I think this is incredibly important, especially in this era, this technological era that we're in, especially in this era of false and performative activism specifically. I think that when you, let me first ask you this question. When you say, is it performative, or when you say, is it, does it make real change? Do you mean like systemic change, or do you mean like cultural, social, like,
Such a good question. I actually didn't think of it. When I first generated the question, I was thinking systemic change, and for me that's the most important and relevant change, if I may. Some people may beg to differ.
That's valid. That's valid.
Which is understandable, but yeah, I'm talking about systemic change. But what you just brought up, I think I would like to touch on that as well, but I'm gonna let you to keep going.
No worries. Well, in terms of, I guess, in like in a broad sense, I think that social media, if it's depending on who specifically you're getting it from, it absolutely can make an actual change, especially if we're talking about systemic or in a cultural way. It can, whether or not depending of how fast that change is going to be, or how fast it manifests, I do believe it can actually make a real change. For example, let's start with, I think a really big obvious one is going to be the 2020 BLM riots, right? That, if it wasn't for social media, if it wasn't for TikTok, I highly doubt the entire world would be ablaze screaming for the rights of Black people. That's, I highly doubt that so many people would have had that genuine and like that genuine outrage that was fueled by social media. And I feel like it was actually that 2020, that era, that I gained so much momentum on social media, because a lot of people believe in social justice. A lot of people actually care, but a lot of people are afraid to actually do the work, or are afraid to actually say it. And so social media is an amazing place, or an amazing political arena to where people can actually do that.
Okay, you seem to be changing my mind already, because I'm not gonna lie, I'm of the opinion that social media activism is not doing much.
That's what you thought initially.
I think it definitely does something, but I don't think it's going to create the systemic change that we're looking for, only because of the people who are championing it. It's only because of the people who are responsible for the activism, quote unquote.
Okay, can I ask who in mind? Like, who do you think in mind?
I'm just thinking of the everyday people, the reposters, the people who like post something on their story and leave it at that.
But I'm so sorry to interrupt.
No,
those activists? Like, when you say
exactly,
that's what I'm saying.
That's like, wow. Thank you so much, because that's exactly what I was going for.
Right.
Because the first thing I was actually going to do is ask if you consider yourself an activist, one, and two, what is an activist? Because I have a Cambridge definition of activism, which we can go into.
Yeah,
but when I created this question, it's about social media activism. So I guess I could put that in bunny ears. So quote unquote social media activism, because a lot of people believe that what they're doing is activism. But my issue is that I think a lot of it is quite performative. Some people may, again, beg to differ, but I think it's quite performative, one. And I think on the other hand, this is something that we're going to go into with one of the philosophers that I have on my list. It's actually just making people think that they're doing something to make them feel comfortable
when they're,
but they're not actually doing anything.
Right.
So I don't know where you want to start.
Well, the first question about whether or not I would consider myself an activist.
Yes.
I've actually battled that with that question myself within the last 4 years, because a lot of people ascribe that word to me.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, because it's an amazing title to have, like it's an amazing thing for anyone to call you.
Mm-hmm.
But at the exact same time, it does come with a lot of responsibility, a lot of expectation.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to things like TikTok, when it comes to things like TikTok, people can, if one thing is wrong, or let's say maybe you're talking about a controversial issue that might not be the best hot take, or like the most popular hot take, people are very quick to then twist your words, or very quick to take, say that, oh, well, you're an activist, why are you saying that? Or you're an activist, why are you doing that?
Can I quickly say something? You just reminded me of something.
Yeah.
In my head, There are two things that I want to say. Oh my gosh, I hope it doesn't leave. The first thing is what you said about, what did you just mention about how it's not the most popular take?
Yeah, yeah.
That's my thing about social media activism. It's populist. So
really,
a lot of people are, do you know what like populism is as like a concept?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because I don't want to doubt you. I don't want to sound patronizing, but I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Okay, cool.
It's very popular nowadays, especially.
So, King Henry VIII, for example, was a populist leader in that the only laws that he ensued were the ones that the most people thought were necessary. So when I say activism has become populist, it's that you are actively advocating for a specific view because of the amount of people who believe that. You just want to be on the right side of quote unquote history. You just want to be on the right side of politics. And my issue with that is that it's just to question, like, do you actually believe what you're advocating for? And that's what makes me, because a lot of the time people say that the left is right. Don't worry, I'm not about to come here and tell you that.
What I'm gonna say
is that there are extreme, that there is an extreme leftism.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
that
absolutely.
I think people are struggling to draw the line between, like, there's a point at which it's enough now. There's a point at which drag. And because people are doing this thing where, oh, they are doing activism and they have to keep, oh, this is another thing I want to touch on, but we'll get there. And because they feel like they have to keep supporting the people who are systemically oppressed, for example, it's like now you're just advocating for, like, you don't even know what you're advocating for. I don't know if that made sense.
No, that does make sense. Okay, there's quite a few points. So first of all, when you say that, let's take the left, for example, that people on the left, let's say the far left, they only say things, or they only like to come on social media to say certain things because that might be the popular notion. I would actually fight against that a little bit because I don't believe that that's necessarily the case. For example, if we were to talk about Palestine, there was a point in time where that was wildly, as in people were very much pro-Israel. That it was actually very unconventional. I think it depends, A, what topic you're talking about.
Yeah.
But B, when it comes to about the populist or how that actually manifests, especially in politics or like, culturally in real life, I think you really need to ask the question, what is it that we're talking about?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if you have any specific examples where the left has, you know, there's a super popular thing that you think they're only utilizing to get the popular vote. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like a lot of the time the left is, the far left, because I don't personally call myself a leftist for this reason, because I think a lot of people hijack the left. Because I do agree to a certain extent. I do think that a lot of people, especially in the left, they might utilize certain causes to maybe, for example, boost their platforms.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I full heart, especially on Twitch, especially. I have some people in mind.
That's such an interesting platform to be on.
Oh,
I haven't dabbled in Twitch yet. I'm a bit frightened.
Oh, yeah. I feel like, hold off if you can, because Twitch can be a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
But with regards to that, I definitely feel like, especially in nowadays, I definitely feel like depending on what the situation is, the Palestine debate is just the first thing that came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Until it actually gets popular, that's when people will start to ascribe it. Oh, then, you know, she's only using it to further her political career, whatever it may have you. So it depends where you're kind of like assessing this at.
I think the point that you're bringing up is something that I was going to touch on, but I haven't yet. But I think you're ahead of me. So what you're saying is some people just jump on specific trends so that they can seem like they're in the right circle and so that they can boost their platform.
Yes, but it's about picking out those people. Because I don't know if you've heard about, like, I don't know if you've seen this streamer called Dean Withers.
I probably have not.
He's a really popular political streamer. I'm sure people are watching this.
Is he like a white American guy?
Yes,
I've seen him.
There's a lot of controversy with regards to him specifically because yes, it could be argued maybe he started talking about left wing politics, maybe he started talking about fighting for oppressed people, maybe he started to do that genuinely.
Yeah.
But then it gets to a point. Are you just doing it to further your career? Because a lot of the times, his own actions don't actually reflect the things that he's preaching.
I saw a clip of him talking. It was a bit talking about women, and I was
That's my point. That's
really
my point.
Line. Yeah.
So I feel like we should be asking: are the people that we're getting our news from, the people that we're getting our commentary from, are they actually doing the things that they are preaching about? Are they actually this person in real life? Do they actually genuinely care? And that's how you can tell who the sheep and the goats are. That's how you can tell who's actually genuinely doing it because they actually care, or who's just doing it to get TikTok money.
This is good. I feel like we have gone to so many different places.
Like honestly, like
I'm gonna try and just do this, and then we're gonna go back out again. This is so good. Like I can sit here and talk about this for hours.
But honestly,
I'm trying to keep up with time so that we don't lose it.
Okay, I hear it.
I'm gonna start with the Cambridge definition of an activist, so that we can begin to see what activism truly is, and if anybody on social media is doing that. If that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
So the definition is. Well, an activist is a person who believes strongly in political or social change and takes part in activities such as public protest to try to make this happen. That's the Cambridge definition of activism. And I think the reason why I really hold space with that is because they talk about active in terms of doing things. And for some people in this day and age, because of social media, doing things just looks like reposting. Absolutely. Doing things just looks like hashtag. There's a philosopher that we're going to get onto, who basically says it dampens the point of the activism. So for me, I think I definitely agree with that. And you brought up Palestine. Palestine is something that I was going to talk about, which is here and there under random posts, I just see hashtag free Palestine. And I feel that is doing more harm than good. I feel like it definitely does the job of spreading the message. But at this point, the message has been spread. And I think that what is actually happening now is people are becoming desensitized to the actual point. Everybody has now seen free Palestine, but people are no longer resonating with what that means. And as a result, that is a result of all this quote unquote social media activism. Please take it away.
Now, I was going to say, first and foremost, I absolutely agree with how, with the desensitization, if you, and I say this whether it's spamming Jesus loves you 1,000 times in someone's comment section, all of these things, it's very performative. It doesn't actually get the point across. You're not actually persuading anyone onto your side, especially considering, like, let's be honest, most people, like you rightly said, most people know about Palestine. Most people actually know about, you know, anything
at
of that matter.
Point,
I fully agree with that. Yeah. I do think, kind of like similar to what I was saying before, those people that are saying just free Palestine and all you see is them reposting that type of stuff, those people with respect are the people that we don't need to listen to. They're the people whose opinions do not hold any actual weight.
Yeah.
And I think we've entered a world where everyone has an opinion. That's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. But not everyone's opinion matters.
Yeah.
Not everyone's opinion, like, people think that because you have an opinion, that means it's worthy of debate. Mm. That's not necessarily true. Like,
that's
I don't argue with fascists. I don't argue with people who are racist or whatever it may have you.
We're about to touch on that.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Let me just slow my roll.
No, I'm not telling you to slow down. I'm just letting you know we're on the same page. You just keep going.
All right,
there
we go. But with regards to that, with that performative activism, it does make it a lot more difficult when it comes to being able to recognize the real from the fake. But most of the time, if you're actually looking at someone, especially if it's on social media and you're seeing that they're only just posting free Palestine on random posts or they're not actually doing anything active,
for example,
you should be asking people, what are you doing for your local union? What are you doing in your community? What are you doing, you know, in your actual real life? And I feel like it's very important.
Yeah.
So I feel like it doesn't help whatsoever. I don't really agree with people that are performative in that way.
Mm.
But at the exact same time, I think we should be directing our attention mm-hmm. to the people who do the right things, mm-hmm. the people that actually are active. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I think that leads me to the question of, do you think it is possible to be active in the definition sense on social media?
Do you mean just purely on social media?
Purely on social media.
So that means that person quite literally, they don't do anything else. They only just make posts mm-hmm. and then they log off.
Yeah.
I think that's not an actual activist.
Right. I think I agree. I think social media does what it needs to do in terms of spreading the message. It has worked. People now know about these things. As you mentioned, Black Lives Matter is like a huge example of social media doing the job and getting people on the streets. And that's the difference. It materialized in person. Mm. But a lot of people these days, you feel too comfortable sitting in your hashtags. You feel too comfortable sitting in your screen. And people are not doing enough physically.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
I agree. Okay, it's so crazy because I actually agree 100% with what you said. Okay, yeah. Maybe 99%. I'm only going to push back a tiny bit.
Please do.
What I'm going to push back on is that, yes, I do believe people should be doing more. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't disparage that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, and because I've actually talked to these people, like in my own community, yeah. sometimes, unfortunately, especially in this day and age, that's all that they can do. Yeah. When you're disabled, right, and you literally can't leave mm-hmm. your bed, mm-hmm. when you are... Maybe you're in a position in life. Maybe you're like a single mother. You're single mother, and you quite literally cannot divert your yeah. attention to anything else. Yeah. It's kind of difficult to be out there on the streets or hear someone tell you, "Well, you're not doing enough for your country. You're not doing enough to spread the cause." Maybe reposting maybe reposting a hashtag or reposting whatever is quite literally all you can do. I'm not saying that that's the case for everyone. Yeah. Most people are probably not that case. I'm being way too charitable.
Yeah.
But I do know that that's the case for a lot of people, especially nowadays.
Thank you so much for saying that. That's because right. We're just going to do this thing where I agree with you, but I don't want people to think that we're just two agreeable people.
No, exactly.
I genuinely agree with what you said. And I think I really appreciate the fact that you said that because that's going to allow me to enhance and just, you know, broaden the point that I'm trying to make, I think it's about your intentions and your heart, which some people can argue, yeah, but you can't see people's intentions. That's correct. But it does show sometimes. Hmm. And for me, it's just a thing where you can tell that someone is literally just being pretentious. I think what I'm doing is I'm speaking about the people who, you know, with like this boycotting thing that exists that people
just generally
boycotting specifically for Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time what happens is people you will see someone, for example, if they go into McDonald's or Starbucks, for example, mm-hmm. and you'll be like, oh yeah, but we're boycotting. And these people seem to have this righteous like ambience to them,
like in holier that, than
yeah,
thou.
Yeah, which is, oh yeah, but we're boycotting. And for me, it's like, I know it's not the case for everybody, but for me, it's like, you never used to go to Starbucks anyway, so of course you're boycotting. You like come from a middle class family, so of course you can afford to go to somewhere else that's not McDonald's.
That's the tea.
So for me, it's just like, what exactly is your point here? Because the other day I saw a post about how, oh yeah, there's an email template in my bio, make sure you send this to your MP, and we're going to be protesting on, I think it was the 1st of July mm. or something like that. And in my head, I was thinking, so how many of these people who are telling me to boycott are going to show up to that event? That's what I was thinking.
So let me just quickly ask, you received that email, was that from?
It was a post.
Oh,
it was
okay, a post, right, okay.
And this was someone who was doing social media activism mm. in the way that I believe is good, which okay. is you're spreading relevant information to get people out there.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, I looked at that post and I was just like, how many people who claim to be activists, how many people who claim to be pro-Palestine, who claim to be pro-Congo, are actually doing that? That's what
I'm actually doing, that thing that you saw specifically.
Yeah. Who is taking the time to go out and protest? Taking into account the people that you mentioned, understandably so, with those people who are doing what they can with what they have, like, we've already cut them out of the conversation. You are no longer the people who are at the target end of my criticism.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah. So you said that that person was good because they were actually making people do actual things, like actually manifesting real change, actually enacting real change. I think that a lot of social media activists actually do that, but that's not what is popularized. A lot of, for example, when you see me on TikTok, a lot of people see me on TikTok, they might think that I make a 1 minute video or a 2 minute video and then I can put my phone down.
Yeah.
They don't see the resources that I put on my Instagram story. They don't see the resources that I put on my they don't even see that me being actually out. I literally went to the women's march the other week. I feel like a lot of the things that are popularized and unfortunately what's actually pushed by the algorithm doesn't tend to be the things that are important. BLM is kind of like an outlier because I feel like that was kind of like the, not the beginning of TikTok, but that we had the COVID.
I'm not gonna lie.
You know what I mean?
I think BLM is gonna be the first and the last of its kind. I'm not gonna lie. Unless something really crazy happens.
And
but it came at a perfect time. And also it was, I'm pretty sure that's, I don't want to sound ignorant, but for me, I think it might be the first like form of activism that erupted on social media. Am I wrong? Was there any activism before that?
There was quite a bit of activism, for example, like the Me Too movement. I'm sure you've heard of that and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you're definitely right in the sense that the amount of global outrage was undeniable. But you have to also remember, BLM happened during a time that was unprecedented. We had the COVID pandemic. Yeah, everyone was in their house. So everyone was locked on their screen.
Bored,
So that kind of propelled that sort of, you know, people actually being able to care because they didn't have anything else to care about.
Yeah.
So I do definitely think that you're right in the sense that it's probably going to be the last of its kind for a while. Mm-hmm. But hey, like we're in a Trump administration 2025. You do not know. Like don't hold up to it too much.
Right. You're right, actually. And that's even leading me to the next thing that I wanted to bring up because time is flying and
I have
so many points.
I feel like we've only just started.
Literally, do you know what I mean?
Like, honest to God, like.
Okay, cool. I find it interesting, literally on the topic that you were saying, that there are surges in videos on quote-unquote activism when something goes viral. So what I'm talking about is, like, the people in Palestine have been suffering for a while. The people in Congo have been suffering for a while. Long and
time.
There are definitely other genocides that are happening right now. There are other forms of, like, dehumanization and just not good behavior, basically, that's going on around the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's happening around the world that has just not become popular enough for people to care about. So what I'm basically saying is with all these things, such as even the concept of fascism is only now coming to people's forefront. People are now only becoming aware that this is what is happening. Because did you see that? You've definitely seen the video, the 20V, that guy.
What, Charlie Kirk?
No, him.
Is it a Jubilee video?
The Jubilee video.
There's many Jubilee videos.
The one, and then there were so many fascists coming up, and he was an Asian guy. I've forgotten his name.
American, right?
Yeah.
I think I can't. What's his name like? I can't remember his name.
We know who was talking about.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's because that became popular. Now people are suddenly you're using the term fascism. You didn't know what that, I'm pretty sure you don't know what it means to this day. And that's what I'm trying to say. Like, activism, I think it's too accessible. I think there's a certain type of person that should be able and allowed to be an activist, if that makes sense.
Okay. We're just going on two different points. I'm gonna go on the first point.
Yeah.
With regards to fascism.
Yes.
Absolutely, people have devalued that word because of how many times people have used it because of social media. That's absolutely true. I do think it's still important to call a spade a spade.
Yeah,
Unfortunately, a lot of people are fascists. Like, a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah.
I do think it's really important to highlight that. But at the exact same time, I do fully agree with regards to the fact that people have just devalued that word.
Mm-hmm.
I do still feel like people should be using it. Like, if I see a fascist on the street or I see someone that's acting in a fascist way, I'm going to call them a fascist.
I agree.
Regardless if it's online or not.
Yes.
Because whether it's online or not, people can still, to me, it doesn't really change anything.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that. What was your second point as well?
Second point was, I think there's a certain type of person that's allowed to be an activist.
Okay.
The reason why I'm saying that is because what I mentioned earlier with this notion of fascism, some people do not know what that word means. And now you're running around, you're calling anybody anyhow fascist. You don't know what it means. That's why I say certain people should be activists, in that when you say we're devaluing language, when it comes to, like, for example, with neurodivergence, so many terms from psychology have been taken and stripped down to mean nothing.
So
that's what I'm talking about. Now suddenly everybody's overstimulated. Wait,
oh my gosh. That annoys me so
much. You don't even know what the word means.
You're just overwhelmed.
I'm just gonna create that parallel between what's happening with terms in psychology and what's happening with now terms in politics. We need to gatekeep more. That's what I'm saying when it comes to language.
And I agree full heartedly. I personally wish that we lived in a world where we were able to, where everyone was able to walk in a level of discernment. Mm. Yes, I understand that. You know, for example, if Jim Boy over there, he thinks that everyone's a fascist, and he thinks that he's all of these things, neurodivergent, whatever may have you. Okay. I wish people were able to look at that and realize, okay, well, maybe let's not listen to him. Yeah. Let's not get our information from him. Let's not actually listen to anything he has to say. And listen to the people that actually have meaningful conversations, or the people that actually care, or the people that actually have proven to have their words backed up with empirical data. Yes. But I still think that it's not enough for people to just, for example, with the activism thing specifically, I think that if only people, like, for example, if you say that only some people should be activists, where do you draw the line to that? For example, if you say, for example, oh, well, you have to have a certain level of education. Like, I'm not saying that you would say that, but I'm sure you would agree that, like, that is a little bit.
I'm sorry, but I would. But we'll unpack.
Let me be specific. Let's say that you were to say you have to have a master's degree in politics.
No.
Okay, that's okay. Okay. But some people genuinely believe that. Okay. Some people have this ideology that, okay, well, I'm only going to listen to you if you're a scholar in this, this, and that, and if you're a scientist or whatever may have you. Okay. And obviously, for obvious reasons, like, that creates barriers that most people can't attain for, like, economic reasons. But that's absolutely fine. And I'm not saying that you are.
Yeah,
but
I think
when it comes to being an activist, I absolutely agree you have to have a certain level of education. Absolutely, that's the bare minimum.
That is
bare minimum.
Point. Yeah.
You have to also genuinely care.
Yes.
You have to also have, like, the passion, the actual, like, whatever, to have it. Yes. But in my personal opinion, to get those three things, that's not very difficult. No, a lot of people have that. That's what I'm saying.
But the issue is that a lot of people don't.
What activists, I don't know what activists, like,
when I'm talking about activists, I'm talking about social media activism.
Do you have anyone in specific, or are you just saying, like,
no,
just,
I'm literally talking about the people who, like, do this thing where you're just reposting and you're just speaking for the sake of speaking. You're doing this just to say that you've done it.
So literally just this, like, reposters.
The general oh, okay, population. Fair. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not, no. I don't have names to bring up. I'm not really well-versed with politics. That's the thing. I don't know if you can clock that, but I'm very much just philosophy. I do philosophy, but there's politics and philosophy that overlap. And this is what I wanted to talk to you about. It. Just, you know, get your thoughts. But when you brought up the thing about education, it makes me think of Plato's concept of epistocracy, which you've heard of that
back in the
day. So it's just like, at what point? Because, there are so many barriers to entry if we require people to have a master's. Masters are expensive. If you require people to have a doctorate, now your class is up.
Exactly.
Which is the issue.
Exactly.
But as you said, there are people you can actually go out and just, the internet is free to some extent. But, like, you can go out and do research for yourself. You can have the heart to care enough, and you can have the abilities to be an activist. Mm. And I think that's the thing that I just want to also point out. Things are too accessible these days. Like, the parallel that I'm going to draw might be very difficult to grasp, but hopefully you understand. So with, you know, Instagram service providers.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been to any.
Like hairstylists.
Yeah, hairstylists, nail people, hair people. A lot of people wake up, they get a talent, a hobby, they do it and they want to turn it into a business. And a lot of people missed it in between, which is the training and the courses. And there are things that you need to learn.
Yeah.
There are ways that you have to treat clients. There are ways that you have to run your business.
Absolutely.
There are things that you're doing that you don't know how to do that because you've missed it in between. And that's what I'm trying to parallel. In order to become an activist, which a lot of people are cosplaying, you're cosplaying activism, you're not doing it right, basically. They are missing that intermediate point at which you're supposed to be, like, learning, basically. There are things you have to know how to do.
Okay, so let me ask that question, because I do agree, don't get me wrong, but I want to ask that, pick your brain a little bit. Yes. So there is an in-between that a lot of people are missing, absolutely, full-heartedly. Mm-hmm. I would ask, give me an example of what like that in-between would be, because when I'm at protests, when I'm actually like at pro-Palestinian, because mm-hmm. I'm sure you know like Palestinian Action are now a terrorist group. I do think, and I'm actually there, I see the way that how many people are actually moved by this cause. Mm. A lot of that in between that you're saying, I do think that quite a few people, like I said, I don't know any fake social media activists that maybe you could be thinking of, yeah. but a lot of people that I see are actually doing that in between, are actually emailing their representatives, mm. are actually out there in the streets, are actually trying to change their bigoted yeah. family members. Even that small stuff like that, that people often overlook, mm-hmm. having to have those difficult conversations with your parents, your grandparents, family, your friends, about yeah. why being racist is wrong, or why yeah. being homophobic, whatever it may have you. That those little things like that count as the in between, and mm-hmm. I feel like
you're right.
Okay, there we go. Because yeah. I was gonna ask,
and that's what I was about to say. Those people are not the people that I'm talking about.
You're talking about people that literally don't.
You don't. You're not doing anything. All you're doing is what you see other people do. You don't know what
people,
that means.
Those people don't matter.
We just didn't give them an
attention. Those people don't matter.
I think you already came to this conclusion earlier and I forgot to hold space with it.
No, it's fine.
This is what you've been saying. Just to reiterate for the people, ultimately, the people that I'm talking about, they don't matter.
They don't matter.
That's the thing that people struggle to put their finger on.
And that's why, and here's the tea.
Like, it's okay for people to not count.
Exactly. Yeah. And here's the tea really quickly. Yeah. I'm just going to finish it on this. That's the reason as to why we are living in such a delusional world right now. Yeah. Because People think that just because they press the repost button that they're mm. doing a lot, and that means that what they're doing holds weight. It doesn't. Yeah. And I think it's just really important that everybody has this level of discernment yeah. to just ignore those type of people. They mm-hmm. don't matter. Put your energy into the ones that actually are doing the work, yeah. that actually are on the ground.
You're right.
Right?
I really like that.
I don't know.
Right. Because sometimes it gets to me a little bit. It just frustrates me.
It's a normal
but
reaction.
I forgot
for
that that's an option. Like literally not talking to you, not engaging with you. I forgot that was an option.
The block button.
I want to do something.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Very quickly, which is, yeah. I want to see if you can think from the other point of view.
Oh God.
And just because, let me just get into
Let's go, bro.
Okay, so do you think that people who are on the wrong side, quote unquote, and the thing is there a wrong side?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Let's hold space of that. So people who are on the wrong side, do you think they are also just activists in their own right? And what makes that distinction, if not? So I'm talking about the fascists, so, I'm talking about the racists, okay. the homophobes, the sexists, the incels, I'm talking about them. Do you think they are just being activists in their own right for what they believe, or is there something that makes them different to what yourself you're doing and what other like activists?
Right.
Yeah.
I think if you're a fascist, if you're anyone of that nature, far right, mm-hmm. it is literally impossible for you to be an activist. Wow. Those are two concepts that are diametrically opposed. Wow. That they cannot go together. And the reason for that is, and I can't, what I'm saying is not even controversial. A lot of people are going to get upset.
Yeah.
The reason for that is because if you are on the far right, if you are a fascist, you oppose, mm-hmm. you go against other people's rights.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally just a core belief. You don't believe that immigrants should have the same rights as you. You don't believe that women should have the choice of abortion. You don't believe that gay people, whatever may have you. So if that is the case, activism, by definition, I can't really remember like by word from your Cambridge, but I do remember specifically it's about like caring about like the oppressed people.
Yes.
If you're actively trying your best to put them down, it's quite literally impossible for you to be an activist. That is literally two concepts that are diametrically opposed. Yeah. They cannot coincide.
Wow. Okay, girl. That was so good. Because I was thinking, how's she going to get around this one? I don't want anybody to be here and be like, oh yeah, you guys are just in an echo chamber. You're just agreeing with each other. That's why I'm bringing up, okay, let's see, you know, this is what some people may believe, and there's your response, guys. And it also uses the definition as well. And that was really good. That was clean.
I appreciate it.
That was good. Okay, cool. We can quickly brush over that. The next thing I guess I want to ask is, what do you think about violence and non-violence? Bit of a leap. Let me explain. So how does online activism benefit movements? I guess that's part of the question, but what I'm saying is the same question can be asked about in real life activism, basically. So how does real life activism benefit? And there's this whole discourse in like political philosophy, which is, should we use violence as a response? Is violence ever the answer? And quite a few philosophers are like, yeah, like, I'm not gonna lie, the only way is violence. The only way to get people to understand what we're saying is violence. I saw a post the other day, and basically what it said is, I think I wrote it down, the post was basically saying something along the lines of, things like rules, things like the law, and things like morality are only functional on the basis of equality.
Yes. Oh, I'm giving my answer away already.
Wow, okay. Should I let you just to begin to speak?
Okay, so my first, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah.
So when we're asking this question about whether or not violence is ever like acceptable, we have to ask, what society are we living in? Are we living in a society that's where everyone is equal, where everyone is, you know, peaceful, democratic, wherever may have you? Or are we living in a society where people's rights are actively being stripped away? Because sometimes, unfortunately, I kind of do agree. Yeah. I do think that violence has to be the answer. Because if someone, let's be honest, if someone is literally saying that I don't agree with your fundamental existence, I want to take away your rights, your entire family, and there's no words that you can say to them that's going to make them think opposite, what else are you going to be expected to do? It's self-defense at that point. Yeah. So I absolutely agree. And again, like, I'm not calling for violence. I'm not doing anything of that nature. But if you are in a position where the state, your people, whatever it may have, society, are actively making it their life's mission to take your rights away.
Yeah.
Just going to leave it at
just
that.
Theoretically, guys.
Theoretically, by the way.
She's not asking you to do anything.
Yeah, by the way,
guys. Don't do anything.
Please.
But yeah, theoretically, because obviously what we're doing here is philosophizing and you know, bringing ideas together and just seeing how they
It's important, they right? Because these type of things are, like, it happens in the real world, and it's important to have these type of discussions, because realistically,
and think
who
about
is?
It. Yeah. And that's the thing. And I guess you can bring in like ethics and morals to some degree, but you know, again, it depends on if you are deontological, if you're teleological. You know what those words
I was gonna say, most people, though, I'm not gonna lie, a lot of people don't even value ethics anymore. A lot of people don't value, but it's true. That's like, if we're gonna go with basic Aristotle when it comes to like building virtue, do most people do that?
Think anybody cares.
Exactly, that's my point. Yeah. So most people don't care about ethics, most people don't care about virtue, most people don't care about, and I can't even remember what it was we were talking about earlier, but I was gonna say kind of like, and I can't really fully blame people, because obviously we live in capitalism. Capitalism fuels like individuality, all of this madness. But at the exact same time, a lot of people just genuinely do not care. Mm-hmm. And so what can you do, honestly?
I think you're right. Okay, cool. That was just a tiny like
segue
of what we were going to talk about. And
yeah.
Your thoughts on that is very interesting. And I think I agree, because there's this guy, Jose Medina. He talks about epistemic insurrection, which isn't physical violence, but it's epistemic violence. And he's basically like, it gets to a point where we just have to be epistemically corrupt. And he's like, because he spoke specifically about race. And he was basically saying that what has to happen in this day and age is, when people are being racist to you, if you experience microaggressions, you have to do things like lie. You have to do things like, I don't know, what else is epistemically corrupt? You know, just be like, just
kind
lie,
of
basically.
Reality,
don't tell them the truth.
Yeah.
And just things along that nature.
Reality in some way.
To kind of that is the epistemic version of the violent thing. And I just wanted to get, again, your thoughts. Because initially when I saw that, I was like, that's a bit radical. But then I was like, in some cases, it's just like, at this point.
I was going to ask, I'm not sure if he gave like an actual example, but when if it's when it comes to just lying, is that the extent to where it's going to? Like when you're saying, when if someone's racist towards me, for example, and so I decide to lie, is that going to be effective in actually
I wrote a paper on that, and it was just like, I'm not gonna lie, like Medina, conceptually, yeah, like this sounds great.
Exactly, but in actuality,
like in practice, it's just like, where does that get us? Exactly. Especially, and that's the thing, people don't even take into context like intersectionality. A lot of the time things are looked at from
black intersectionality,
by the way, guys, is a term that was coined by Kimberly Crenshaw. You can go away and, you know, research that. But anyway, people just, they look at it from, you know, it's a male-dominated world, it's a patriarchy. So they look at it from the male's point of view. Mm. And it's like, if a black woman were to lie, for example, in like, and it's like, black women plus healthcare is already a disaster. So black women in healthcare lying is just, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So people, and just to like close off on that, I fully agree. But genuinely, people just refuse to see things that won't, for example, if I'm a white man, it's very unlikely that I'm going to see things through the lens of a black woman. Exactly. And I wish that genuinely that, I don't know, like I just wish that people had some sort of like a certain level of empathy or care. But if people actually did that, a lot of the issues that we have in this world will most likely, it would dissipate.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to like epistemic violence or interaction, wherever have you. So I feel like if it's not going to be effective, is there really any point? I'm not saying necessarily that you should be violent.
I agree, but we need to think about what's the point.
Conserve your energy, because at that point it's like, should I do that, or should I just, I don't know, walk away, or should I there's so many different ways to respond to racism. There's no right or wrong way. I'm not trying to like dictate or police anyone in that matter, but I feel like if
there
that's
are
doing
certain things that are not effective,
exactly, and doing either. That it might take a lot of energy, and it might not even be effective. So it's like, is there even really any point?
I like that. I didn't think about it that way, but thank you for the addition. Okay, cool. I want to now move on to like the metaphysical concept of justice now. Ooh. And see what, there's so much that I wanted to talk to you about, and it just seems to all have gone through the window. We've got like 20 minutes left.
Got part two.
Okay, so literally part two, right? Okay, so the metaphysical concept of justice, John Rawls.
Oh my gosh, I literally did my dissertation on him for my bachelor's degree. Oh my gosh. Wait, are we going to do like, what's it called? Like the original, what's it called? Let me not interrupt.
Go on.
I don't know if it's, is it the original, the original contract? I don't know. I'm not saying the correct terminology, but I remember Rawls had this school of thought. I'll let you know.
The veil of ignorance?
The veil of it. That's it.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, for his concept of justice, he suggested that justice is fairness. And that's why he came up with this veil of ignorance. Should I just quickly give what the veil of ignorance is?
The people know.
For the people, right?
Yeah, go for it.
So the veil of ignorance is basically Rawls saying, if everybody was like to be like reborn, I guess, into a new world in which you don't know what you're going to end up as. You don't know if you're going to be man, you don't know if you're going to be woman, if you're going to be gay, if you're going to be, I don't know, like,
aren't those black. Called like arbitrary like attributes?
Yeah, protected characteristics, yeah, that they call them. You don't know what one you're going to end up. What type of world would you want to live in? And he's going to argue that a lot of people would want the world to be equal. And for him, that's what equality looks like, and that's what justice is.
Absolutely.
So I guess I'm just here to really just ask, like, what do you think about the concept of justice being equality?
I don't want to give like a really basic answer saying that, oh, justice is equality or equality is justice, because obviously to a large extent, I most likely do agree.
Yeah.
However, I think a lot of people actually forget that, yes, equality is a large aspect of justice, but where does equity go in?
Thank you.
No, but like, let's actually talk about it, right?
Because that's what I was going to bring up.
Oh, right? fair enough.
As you were.
Because let's be honest, because yes, ideally, yes, sure. If we were all, you know, if we all didn't know, well, to be honest, we all don't know. When we were born, we didn't know that we were going to be black or white, whatever it may have you. We were born into these situations, these environments that may be beneficial, not so beneficial.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Equality is fantastic if we were all treated equally.
If it was a blank slate.
A lot of us don't have that.
That's what I wanted to say about when men enter these spaces and you write and you theorize and you come up with things, it's so easy for you to think, oh yeah, like just imagine if it's a blank slate and this. It's not a blank slate.
It's really
not. You are a white man. For you, that seems very, very probable. That seems very, very likely.
Very convenient.
But for the black woman, for the black Muslim woman, for example, the world is very, very different.
Exactly.
Ultimately. And so for me, justice as equality, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, it's not possible. It's not a plausible response. We have to bring equity into the
Absolutely. Chain.
So yeah,
I fully wholeheartedly. I feel like obviously equality is an aspect of justice, definitely, but equity, especially in this day and age, the world has. It's almost as if people are allergic to the idea of, for example, affirmative action, which would quite literally be a source of like equity for example, Black Americans. People don't actually, I don't know, maybe it's a lack of empathy. People have become desensitized. Mm-hmm. Social media, all of it may have. I think all of it is just. A reason, but people just don't like the idea of equity because they see it as a way of they're getting something that so it must be taking from me.
Again, that's so interesting.
And I feel like that is because of capitalism. Capitalism gives us this sort of like idea that
there are limited resources. Oh my god.
And when in reality there are plenty of resources, guys. The billionaires are hoarding them. They're hoarding them. It's just being hoarded. It's just in the wrong hands.
Or hidden, or used for something else, like AI and the way it's using water.
Let's not even talk about that.
Okay, I'm gonna bring in some feminist philosophers. And that's the thing, I even wanted to get your take on feminism a little bit.
Do you have Thompson on there?
Do I have Thompson on there? I have Thompson.
Okay, first. No, right.
I don't have Thompson. There's quite a few.
Do you have any like, because I was not, unfortunately, I was not like gifted. The university didn't give me like
the opportunity to study.
We did do feminism, but not like ethnic feminism, like Black women or like other ethnic minority.
What they're going to give us is Kimberly Crenshaw intersectionality and then they finish it there.
Fair. Right. Like she just touches on it, but she doesn't actually.
Yeah.
It would be so nice to actually hear it from like an actual.
Yeah.
Because I would love to hear like different perspectives because it will always be different hearing it from the actual person. The actual person experienced the intersectional oppression, which tends to happen from Black women. Anyone that's just not a white woman, basically.
Let me see. If there's time, there's something that I would want to get into. But for now, there's this woman, she is white, Hannah Arendt. She wrote The Human Condition. We're now going back to the main question, which is about activism now. And she wrote about how there is a distinction between action and performance. And for her, real political change comes from action. So e.g. protests. Whilst on the other hand, performative acts, symbols, statements, hashtags, for example, can look political, but does not actually change structures. And that's where I say that, yeah, I think I agree. I fear it might dampen the message, as I mentioned earlier. But yeah, what do you have to say to her?
Unfortunately, I do agree, but for some reason, the first thing that came to my head was an example that would prove the opposite of that. If we were to, for example, we talked about Palestine Action, like the actual group, they're now a prescribed terrorist in the UK, whatever. They were known to, they infiltrated like a military base and they sprayed it, they dismantled certain things. And they did all that, and I you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But people could argue, well, you're just dampening the cause. And a lot of people, especially, unfortunately, the older generation, in fact, not even the older generation, a lot of people that are our age are looking at that and like, well, you're not actually doing, you've just made.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
the United Kingdom government actively deem you as a terrorist group. Now the majority of people think that your cause is, like, it's just going to make the cause look bad. So I feel like it kind of depends on what is the action that's actually being done, because a lot of people look at Palestine Action and see and actively see that as them being noble. They're doing it for the right cause. They're showing that they actually care. They're out there in the fields. They're doing more than any of us. They're way more than me, right?
Literally.
And I agree. Yeah. But a lot of people, and unfortunately, I know this because I've talked to them. I've talked to a lot of the older generation.
Wow.
And a lot of them see that and think, any opinion or any, you know, hope that I had for Palestine, I basically don't agree with it anymore, because look at the people that are promoting the cause.
Okay,
so it really depends how, and unfortunately, it then begs the question, if the action is not as palatable, is it even good? Like, is it even worth it? And like, does it, if it doesn't change the minds of people, is it even worth it? Sometimes action is not always good. Like, so when it comes to that philosopher, I do agree from, like, for the majority of the way, but at the exact same time, there are definitely outliers. Okay, and those outliers are starting to become a lot more frequent in this polarized world that we live in.
Yeah. Wow. That was great.
Thank you.
I like the things that you're coming up with, because initially, and that's the thing, you're very nuanced in the way that you think.
Right. Oh, thank
in
you.
That, like, for some people, it's either I agree, I don't agree. But for you, a lot of the time, you pick apart the argument. You pick apart, mind you, I'm only giving you a sentence here. You pick apart the concepts within it, and you're like, okay, yeah, we can keep that and we can get rid of that. And I think that's really cool.
I appreciate that.
You know, I really, really wanted to see how your mind works. And this is very, very, I like it.
Thank
lot.
You.
Like,
thank I really you. Enjoy thank it. You for giving actual questions that are, you know, actually meaningful. I see so many interviews where, whether it's with policymakers or with anyone, and they just give such softball questions that. That
a lot of the time they're trying to catch you out as well, and it's just like, can we have a proper conversation here?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. One more philosopher before I move on to something. Oh, wait, no, two.
Go for it.
Before I move on to something that I just really want to get your thoughts on, it's something that I'm trying to develop myself. It's a concept that I think I've coined. I don't know if anybody has spoken about it before, but we'll unpack it at the end. But it can be very controversial, but we'll see.
Okay, well, I'm excited now.
There is a lady, I think she's actually black, Bell Hooks. I don't know if you've heard of her.
Haven't, but I'm interested.
But she wrote Feminism is for Everybody. That's what the thing was called. I think it was a book or an article, I'm not sure. Anyway, she says that radical ideas become softened when they are made into trends. And she argues that mainstream feminism especially becomes depoliticized when it becomes mainstream. And social media activism can become an aesthetic as opposed to causing systemic change. And I think a lot of what she said, I really resonate with. I think that what she said, like, she put that perfectly as to what I was trying to say at the start, if that makes sense. So
I would ask, when she's asking that question, is she talking about, like, the modern day? Like, I don't know when this book was made. Like, for example,
I think it was in the 19 something.
So
actually, no, surely not.
That's what I'm saying. So,
because social media,
right?
Sorry, that's I'm mixing up with somebody.
No,
else.
No,
it
no.
It can't be 19 anything actually. So yeah, I think it was recent.
Okay, well, largely, yeah. Of course, I definitely agree. Like, a lot of. Okay, so I you caught that.
Yes.
I do definitely agree that largely, yes, it does get dampened. Like I said, it does devalue it a lot to a certain extent. But unfortunately, we have to then ask the question, what do we value more? The coverage that this issue has, for example, let's say it was this BLM, or maybe it doesn't have that much coverage, but we're doing it in a perfect palette. Like, we're actually giving, like, we're not dumbing it or, like, devaluing it in any way.
Yeah.
That's the question that we have to really continually be battling with.
That we're going to try to, like, what are you prioritizing?
And exactly, and a lot of people
numbers or quality, a lot of people
would argue that numbers is more important, because again, if it wasn't for the entire world literally setting ablaze for BLM, if it wasn't for the entire world start suddenly caring about Palestine, would we be talking about it this much? Would all of these illustrations?
That's the thing. I think I really understand that, and I can understand why that argument is something that a lot of people will hold space with. But for me, I'm always going to put quality first, only because, and so what? People are talking, and what? Like, people are doing things, and, like, so what? Because I feel like that's the thing that... I'm just going to move on to Jodie Dean very quickly, because she says something that's very, very cool. She wrote Blog Theory, in which she coined the term communicative capitalism. Basically, that concept is saying that these social media platforms enjoy the activism that we're doing, because they just profit off of it,
which is
whilst
true,
there is no systemic change.
Private companies.
And I think that is what my issue is. We're doing a lot of talking, and as black people, we've been talking for a while. Like, there's a lot of talking, and yet it seems like nothing much is changing. Granted, perhaps the change is slow, but I work at an organization called the Black Curriculum. And what we found since, like, it was found at a perfect time, which was in 2019, 2020, which is when everything with George Floyd happened. Mm-mm. A lot of people were interested in the Black curriculum. A lot of people wanted to fund it. Mm. But more recently, we're seeing a drop off. People are not really as interested. Why? Because it's not really trending anymore. So when it comes to numbers, it's like, to what end? To what extent?
I'm going to ask and push back a little bit. I'm not saying that I fully disagree, but yeah. I am going to say...
I love when people disagree with me. Like, keep it coming.
That's good. I'm just going to put that little disclaimer.
Yeah.
But with that, yes, social media is the reason for that, sure. Mm-hmm. But how much of that is also because of the rise of the far right? Mm-hmm. People don't care about Black people. People aren't willing to fund Black projects or to fund Black curriculums or maybe work with Black people. Yes, maybe because of, like, social media, maybe, you know, what you were saying. But also, it's because we are entering a complete societal shift to where white is right. And I hate to say that, I don't agree with it, but we have entered, like, this sort of, like, now, like, this entire world, and I'm saying this entire world, I'm talking about the West in particular, but where
even
people
that
have
is a whole conversation.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. No, of course. But when I'm talking about in America and the UK, people, whether it's people being so much that people are so more comfortable with being racist, a lot more comfortable being just offensive. We have entered, like, this new partial, I'm hoping it's not going to be that long, a temporary stage where people aren't really that favorable of ethnic minorities or minorities in general, like, even gay people, whatever it may have you. So I feel like, yes, what you're saying does definitely have truth, but I think it's coupled with a variety of things. Mm-hmm. And like, if we were, for example, if we were in a stage where, you know, maybe we had a different president, certain ideologues were not being promoted as much, Andrew Tate's of the world, the red pill content creators, all of these things. Yeah. Maybe if that wasn't for the past 4 years, maybe people would be a little bit more favorable towards ethnic minorities, whatever. But because people have become so desensitized over the past 4 years, because of these red pill content creators, because of all these people, I feel like it definitely all, like, it has to come together.
Some battle quantity with quantity, basically, and then we'll think about the quality after.
I think what's really important is getting, and unfortunately, because we live in a democracy, this is the point of a democracy, we need to get the majority. That's the most important. Literally the most important part.
And that's the thing, sometimes I feel like I can be a little bit delusional, I'll call it, because I'm always up in the clouds of theory. I'm always up in the clouds of, like, this, like, that's why I will put quality first. Like, everyone needs to know what they're talking about before they go ahead.
Ideally, I agree,
ideally,
you
right?
know what I mean?
But that's the thing.
Genuinely.
For me, it's always ideally, but in practicality, it's in actuality, it's, do you know
it's
what I mean?
A different story.
Okay, cool. Now, with the last, like, 8 minutes that we
have. We only got 8 minutes. Oh,
it's crazy. Like, I feel like we maybe...
I could go for another, like, 2 hours. Like, I'm not even joking.
Okay, cool. The last thing that I wanted to bring up is something that I've been... It flashed across my brain one time. I don't remember why. I don't remember what happened, but I came up with this term called the oppression monolith.
Oppression monolith, okay.
Now... Basically, in fact, let me even read it from the sheet. I wrote him down.
Okay.
So I'll read him. Okay. The oppression monolith ultimately is the assumption that all people who experience systemic oppression, quote unquote, share the same goals, values, and struggles, and that their fight for liberation automatically aligns. Now, I'm basically saying that we need to break down this oppression monolith because it allows people to infiltrate the space who... are not supposed to be there. So, for example, with Just Stop Oil, you're going to claim that, oh yeah, everybody who is systemically oppressed should be supported. We don't have time for you.
Yeah, like, honest like, to you God.
Know, as Black people, we have issues. We have
within our own issues. Community, mate.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even with not even, because I know people care about animals. Mm-hmm. I know people do. And I'm sorry to the people who offend if you care about animals. But I put Black people first. So when it comes to, oh, stop killing animals, for example, it's not nice the way animals are killed sometimes. It's really inhumane, but Black people.
Obviously.
Do you know what I mean?
So that shouldn't even be controversial. We're people, they're animals. Yeah. Not saying that you shouldn't care about animals. Obviously, in an ideal world, that everybody would. We wouldn't even be eating animals, you know? But unfortunately, like, especially, animals tend to also be the most... cost-effective option for a lot of low-income families. I'm so sorry. Not everyone can afford to go vegan, okay? Right. So.
Oh yeah. My gosh, so you just took the word out of my mouth. You snatched it. No, because that's exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, for real?
I was going to talk about veganism as a concept because a lot of the time, vegans also want to add themselves to this, as I mentioned, oppressed monolith. Like, now you're oppressed. How? I don't know. But it's a thing where black people are not going to help you join because a lot of us are from low social economic backgrounds. All we can afford is meat.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie to you.
Conveniently, that is the cheapest option. Yeah. Like, Spam is cheaper than the vegan option, like, whatever that may have you.
Yeah.
And if any vegans are watching this and they call themselves oppressed, I never thought that vegans were an oppressed group before.
This is what is happening in the world.
For real?
Can I shock you?
Please do.
This is what is happening in the world. People, like, when I talk about the oppressed people, like, we keep adding more names and names. Mm. You see when, like,
Okay.
Do you see?
Yeah.
Have you seen the post that's, there's a lady that hasn't, she's turned into a sound and really? It's like, oh, she's saying, I don't let my color affect my whatever. And then someone starts interrupting her and then people put the caption over.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, when I'm talking about black people, and it suddenly becomes POC. And it's like, it's going to be controversial because I'm not saying that certain people should not be considered. That's not what I'm saying. But it's like, if the conversation is X, it should not become X plus.
No, that is absolutely true. I'm not even going to lie. Okay. And even, not even to be any, because obviously, black people are people of color, but I actually do agree to a
I don't even like that phrase, people of color. That is even so problematic for me.
What do you prefer, like BAME?
I don't want any of them.
Oh, you just want like black people, Asian people? Like,
because what it does is it, how do I phrase it? How do I English it? It reduces. Like,
simplifies it.
Yeah, it simplifies.
Because like the black experience is different than an Asian experience, and it's true. It's like, diametrically different.
So different.
Especially when it comes to like colorism, texturism. Thank those you. Things happen exclusively in the black community. It might happen a little bit like in the Asian community. I'm not trying to take away
what other people experience and granted.
Like genuinely, but it's also really important. Let's call a spade a spade. Yeah. Like the texturism that happens in the black community, that all of that is so deep rooted.
Mm.
It's literally what has torn our entire community apart.
Yeah,
like, you know,
but this is something that I definitely want to go on and like research and write about and talk about and just see, you know, what's going on there. But it can become very controversial once we start looking at different crossovers such as religion, race, and the LGBTQIA+ community. Do you see?
Ooh,
so it's like, yeah, some people can take that waters. Idea and use it to do anything, if that makes sense. So it's I don't know. Philosophy is interesting. I love it a lot.
And see why you do, because quite literally people don't even realize it. We engage in philosophy every single day of our lives. Every interaction that everyone has, you probably watching this video, it's philosophical, believe it or not. So like,
a lot of people tell me when they watch my videos, they try and answer the question themselves and then they go on and see what the guest says. And when they tell me that, it warms my heart because it's like, that's my whole thing. Like, I'm trying to get people who literally look like us to talk on the things in a way that, you know, is legitimate, because
we need more
probably think, what are you guys talking about? What qualifications do you have? And as you mentioned, bachelor's degree and master's, don't play with it.
I suppose you're graduating. You just graduated?
I just graduated.
Guys, see that? Two educated black women.
This
is the future of 2025.
And that's not even to say that you have to go to university to do these things, just engage with conversation.
But it's really cool to know that black women are doing these things, because 50 years ago, we couldn't do that. No, couldn't. It's really important to also
know. That's what is so crazy. The time span. Do you know how long we've been alive? And it's only 50 years.
That we've been seen as humans, fully, like, autonomous. Like, it's disgusting. Like, it's horrifying. Like, being a woman in general, or like a black woman. Like, but it's also quite liberating, because it's like the best time to be alive, to be a woman, as of right now.
Honestly,
you know,
this whole thing has been so great. It's just such a 2 minutes left. Such a shame that our time has literally flown by like this. There is so much for us to talk about. There's so much I wanted to bring up that we didn't even get to touch on. But what I do like is that we were able to stay in like the theoretical aspect. I feel like a lot of your content is like practical, is very much like, this is what is happening.
Right,
this is
now
what we have to do in response. But hearing the foundations of where your ideas come from, I think was very, 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 very nice.
I love that. Thank you so much for having me yet again. Absolutely.
Please let them know your socials, like your handles and things.
Thank you so much. You guys can find me on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, basically everything at Kimberly Online. I'm going to be starting Twitch, so look after that. I'm going to be debating some of your most annoying and hated far right, left leaning, or and actually far left leaning people as well. So definitely look out for that.
I love that. That's actually so interesting. That's thank so great. You. Thank you. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. We'll see you soon.
See Bye. You.